verse 2. He comes now to something that actually they knew, of course, and he has known all through the letter, but now he explains to us why he's writing almost. He says in verse 2 of chapter 7, "Make room in your hearts for us. We have wronged no one. We've corrupted no one. We've taken advantage of no one." In there is a hint, and I think this is going to grow as we go on. It seems to me the most... the probability is that the problem between him and the Corinthian community is basically coming from one person in the community who has a lot of say, probably a patron, and therefore with a clientele, who are also in the Christian church. And if you're one of the clients, whether a slave or another businessman working with this prominent individual, well, it's very hard to oppose him because your livelihood depends on him. So it's something like that. And this person has been accusing Paul of mishandling money, something that Paul is so, so careful not to do and to show that he's not doing. So, and that might have led to a suspicion in the community and then the hurt. So here he's saying, look, I haven't done anything to hurt you. I haven't taken advantage of anyone. I don't say this to condemn you. I said before, you are in our hearts to die together and to live together. It's quite lovely. I often boast about you. I have great pride in you. I'm filled with consolation and I'm overjoyed in all our affliction. Let's just go back to the opening of the letter and I'll just read it again. Verse 3 of chapter 1. Having greeted them, he said, remind you of this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all consolation, who consoles us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to console those who are in any affliction with the consolation with which we ourselves are consoled by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are abundant for us, so also our consolation is abundant through Christ. If we are being afflicted, it's for your consolation and salvation. If we're being consoled, it is for your consolation, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we also are suffering. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you share in our consolation." He picks that theme up here again. "I have great pride in you," chapter 7, verse 4. "I'm filled with consolation. I'm overjoyed in all our affliction." And he goes on to say why. "For even when we came into Macedonia," just before he wrote this letter, by the way, late 55, he's left Ephesus, Asia, heading for Macedonia. He's arrived in Macedonia. We're going to hear a little bit more now. He meets Titus, so it's from Macedonia that he's writing. So he says, look, "even when we came into Macedonia, our bodies had no rest. We were afflicted in every way, disputes without and fears within. But God, who consoles the downcast, consoled us by the arrival of Titus." He'd written a letter that we'd have lost, a hard letter full of tears. He decided not to go himself directly to Corinth, as he had promised on his earlier visit, but he decided to send Titus, and he himself would go north. And he's waiting for Titus to bring news of what happened. "Well, I was consoled by the arrival of Titus, not only by his arrival, but also by the consolation with which he was consoled about you, as he told us of your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced still more. Been on Paul's mind for months, and now it's an immense consolation to know that these beautiful people are longing to see him and at one with him. For even if I made you sorry with my letter, I don't regret it, brackets, though I did regret it, for I see that I grieved you with that letter, though only briefly. Now I rejoice, not because you were grieved, but because your grief led to repentance. For you felt a godly grief, a grief that was graced, a grief that came from the Spirit of God, so that you were not harmed in any way by us. For godly grief produces a repentance, a change of mind and heart, a redirection of feeling and spirit and the focus of their lives. So godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation and brings no regret. Worldly grief produces death. Grief that has no connection with grace leads to depression and death. For see what earnestness this godly grief has produced in you. What eagerness to clear yourselves. They've obviously sent a verbal message through Titus excusing their behavior and saying they didn't mean it and they're sorry and so on. What alarm that Paul was so hurt by it. And also warning them of the danger to their faith in what they were doing. What zeal, what punishment. It's obvious, I think, that having been startled by Paul's letter, they actually confronted this significant person in the community who was the source of the rumors and the bad mouthing and the trying to turn the community against Paul for whatever reason. They obviously confronted him. At every point you've proved yourself guiltless in the matter. So although I wrote to you, it was not on account of the one who did the wrong, nor was it an account of the one who was wronged, that's Paul, but in order that your zeal for us might be made known to you before God. In other words, so that you would realize where your heart really lay. In this we find comfort. And he goes on, in addition to our own consolation, we rejoiced still more at the joy of Titus. His mind had been set at rest by all of you. For I have been somewhat boastful about you to him, says Paul. I was not disgraced. But just as everything we said to you was true, so our boasting to Titus has proved true as well. Paul had said such wonderful things about the Corinthians to Titus, and he was dreading that when Titus went there, maybe they wouldn't be as good as he'd said. Maybe Titus would be terribly disappointed. But actually, Titus has told Paul, though there was hurt and there was disappointment, the way they rallied, the way they admitted their fault, the way they sorted out the community problem that was offending Paul, all was to their credit, and Titus is clearly impressed with them, and Paul's happy for that as well. Verse 15, and his heart goes out all the more to you as he remembers the obedience of all of you and how you welcomed him with fear and trembling. Same kind of fear of God, fear from God, the same fear of the Lord, the same struck deep in repentance because of their recognition of how wrong they'd been and how careless they'd been, and their connection with Paul has opened them up again to the wonder of God's grace that they remembered so much when Paul was with them. All of that has caused them to be more aware of the fragility of their life, and that's always good. More humble, more less perhaps cocksure, their faith has actually gone deeper. I rejoice because I have complete confidence in you.